Shack Podcast, the Foodie Shack Podcast. The Foodie Shack Podcast, the Foodie Shack Podcast. Hey, chefs and foodies, grab a seat with your new friends, Sid and Lisa. They tell you what you need to know, make you laugh about it also. Talking wine and cheese, steak to bisque, won't wanna miss servings of this. And possibilities, gonna take you there on the Foodie Shack Podcast, the Foodie Shack Podcast. It's the Foodie Shack Podcast, the Foodie Shack Podcast.
All right, you ready?
Yes, I am.
1, 2, 3. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Foodie Shack Podcast. It's Cedric the Chef.
And Lisa the Foodie.
Let's talk food for the week. First, we start off like always, sending out positive energy to everyone. Hoping everyone had a great week this week. Enjoy some great food. Some nice time with the family. And look at this great weather we've been having. Like we start off always, let's support a couple of businesses. Queen Sheba in Addison. If you want to go try some nice Ethiopian food, very nice place to go to. Bay's Nigerian in Duncanville. Also, another nice African restaurant you can go to have some great food, y'all. Doughboy Donuts in Burleson. If you're looking for some good donuts, nice donut sandwich, fresh squeezed orange juice, go try Doughboy Donuts, y'all. You won't be dissatisfied going by there one morning and get your nice donut sandwich. How's everything been going for you this week, Lisa?
Oh, things are okay. Things are okay. As far as what have I been up to, I went to the Taste of Oak Cliff this past weekend, and I enjoyed myself.
That's good.
It wasn't very big, but I did get to walk around and see most things. I didn't realize there was another section until after I was headed out, so I can't say I saw everything, but did get to see several small, you know, individual vendors. Surprisingly, it wasn't a lot of the restaurants out there, I guess, that I think, you know, should make themselves known that they're out there. Maybe they assume everybody knows.
Most of the restaurants that are known in Oak Cliff or the mom and pop places. You got to think of all the other ones are the chains, you know.
Yes, but see, that's what I'm saying. When I say individual vendors, I'm looking at people that are baking cookies out of the house versus some of them are the, you know, you have your truck. I was just looking for more of the people who did have shops there to visit, to be there, because it seemed like it definitely seemed like it wasn't a good complete representation what Oak Cliff had to offer, not in my opinion. Now, it was fun because they had some entertainment. They had some educational things. I like the fact that the banks were out there. Financial people were there. Oh, you know what? Why am I just now remembering that I won something in a raffle and have totally forgotten about it? And I need to go up there and pick up my raffle item. I won a saw from the local hardware store right there in the area. So I need to go see what that is.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, okay. When I saw their name come up on my phone, I went, I know they're kidding me. I literally said this to myself. They must have given everybody something. And when the lady said, well, you know, you entered the raffle. Yes. And she said, well, you won. I said, no. Mm-mm. I said, like, I did not win that raffle. She said, yes, you did. I was like, said, okay. So I need to put that on my calendar to go up there because I forgot.
Oh, lucky Lisa over here, y'all.
I totally forgot to go get that. So, but what I will say is that there, you know, and I like, so here's the thing. There was a vendor out there that not only is not from the Oak Cliff area, the vendor won't have their store in the Oak Cliff area, but they want the people from Oak Cliff to come to the store. So they were there, right? And it's not only a big vendor, but it's from Chicago. So Portillo's was there.
Well, I don't know if it was their first year of having, a second year of having it. That's when we had the Pappy's food truck, and they invited us out there that year.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had a Redbird Mall that year, and it was us and a lot of different food trucks that was out there at that time. Mm-hmm. That we came out, so yeah. I think in all of them, you don't have to be from the area. You can just come out there and represent. I think one in Addison may be the same way, but most of Addison is most of all their businesses though. When you go out there, right.
That's my point. That you come there because if you come there looking for, you want that representation. You're looking for that representation because it can make a difference.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Deciding, oh, I need to spend more time over here. They have some places that I would like to try. That's all I was making about that. And that fact that, you know, these people valued the business that could come from Oak Cliff, although their actual location, which is not even open yet.
Were the Breakfast Brothers out there?
No.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, you know, I don't know who reaches out to the people, but I'd say a lot of the known restaurants in Oak Cliff, all of the mom and pop places, you know, South Dallas cafes and your little spots like that, you know.
Not there.
They weren't there either.
No.
Oh, that's interesting. You know, you wouldn't have one of the staples of the Oak Cliff neighborhood there.
At least not, no. I like I said, I walked around, and like I said, there was a section that I didn't get to get to, but it looked like it was more like it was a kiddie area, and then I didn't notice till later that it had some other things going on, but I don't believe it was any food.
What about Wingfields? Was Wingfields there?
No.
Rudy's Chicken?
Nope. Hmm. No. It was enough. Could walk around the area and the space in a matter of maybe 5-10 minutes max.
Man, that's a shame because I tell you, y'all, if there are some great mom and pop restaurants in Oak Cliff that have been staples of this of that community for a while. You know, you have your Records Barbecue, you have your TD's Barbecue, your Rudy's Chicken. You know, your South Dallas Cafe, and it's a lot more out there. It's a lot, y'all. But there are a lot of good mom and pop places in Oak Cliff, man, that are worth visiting. You know, and it's a shame that they don't showcase the places like that because a lot of these families have been part of the Oak Cliff area for a long time. You know, and have their businesses in that area for a long time.
I would imagine it was the restaurant's choice.
It could be, but I don't know how it's presented to them. You know what I'm saying? I'm just making a general statement that it's a lot of places in that area that are worth worth going to see that have been staples of those communities for a while, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Well, I still enjoyed myself. I enjoyed my sandwich from Portillo's. Which was, you know, they were actually one of the reasons why I was coming out.
Yeah.
Mom wanted one coming from Chicago. So I could not come back from there without her sandwich.
Yeah, you know, that's one of them. Italian beef is one of those sandwiches I really don't get. It's, you know, I've had one and it's just, okay, it's a sandwich. I don't understand the big deal about it, but I guess you have to. Grow up eating them to understand them, you know. Because a good sandwich here with some fried bologna with some cheese, you know, that was a good sandwich to me. So,
not even gonna compare the two sandwiches.
Well, see, we didn't have no. I don't remember no sandwich shops like that when I was growing up, you know, because it wasn't Subway, wasn't around then. We didn't have sandwich shops.
We had very, you know, Subway shops everywhere. Uh-huh. And, you know, places like a Jersey Mike's, which is the most similar to one of the most famous Chicago Subway shops. Or sub shops, if you're submarine chefs, with Mr. Submarine. Oh my goodness. And it was delicious. It was a little greasy in the bag because it was warm. So the vinegar and oil, and it would just.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, like I said, we had hamburgers and we go to top corner stores, get a fried bologna sandwich or a fried pressed ham sandwich. That's about it. That was a daily sandwich to us.
I did not actually go to the store and buy bologna. No.
Yeah. You can go to the store and get your bologna. It's a place at the fair every year to have bologna sandwiches.
You go to Memphis. I'm sorry, Memphis, and get you a barbecued or smoked bologna sandwich. I did. No, not Chicago.
That was our daily, man. Put some lettuce and tomatoes.
There may have been bologna on the sandwiches. There may have been some, you know.
Uh-huh.
But it wasn't just a bologna sandwich.
Yeah, that's all we had. That's the only daily we had. Like I said, I don't remember no sandwich shops like that until we got older. You start seeing the sandwich places. I remember I had a family member that was from Philly, and it was like one Blimpie's down here. It was like downtown. And that's when the Subway was, I guess, first coming around too. And she was like, "Man, you gotta go try." We would catch the bus downtown to go try Blimpie's, and I'm like, "It's just no different Subway, you know."
I don't think I went to Subway until I got to Texas.
It's probably only a Texas. I mean.
Yeah, I don't know if it's just a Texas.
Yeah.
I know that I didn't know anything about a Subway before Texas. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, the other day I was on TikTok, Lisa. You know, I'm always on there looking for crazy stuff. And
I know you're always on there.
Crazy food stuff. And I don't know if this I don't know what to call this new thing these kids are doing now. And it's a TikTok challenge, they say.
Oh, okay.
But what they call it, sleepy chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at first, I thought maybe they was, you know, maybe some type of season or something that they put on the chicken. You know, something. But sleepy chicken is where these kids and I guess some adults are taking NyQuil and coating the chicken with it, and then coating it with flour and frying it. Mm-hmm. And the effect is, if you eat a lot of it, it you know how NyQuil does, it makes you sleepy. Now, the FDA came out and put out a warning against this, because on all medications like that, there is a dosage that comes with it. Mm-hmm. And when you exceed that dosage, those type of medications can do things to your liver and kidneys and things like that, you know. So overindulging in something like that could be harmful for the body. But I don't understand. How do we get here where we have a generation that all you have to do is put something online and it becomes a challenge, and everybody wants to do this? What is the purpose of putting NyQuil on chicken? I bet it don't even taste good.
Well, some people are saying, honestly, that they're not so sure how widespread it really is either. That the kids aren't that vulnerable. That's what some folks are saying. Like, they aren't really doing this.
Well, when you go on YouTube and you type in sleepy chicken, there are at least 100 videos of people doing the sleepy chicken challenge now. So how many, and that doesn't say how all the people, and that's not even counting all the people on TikTok that's doing it and spreading videos. So I don't know what we want to call a widespread pandemic, but there is a large audience of people that are indulging in this.
So the threats are not just high dosage, but the fact that the heat that you are bringing it up to and potentially causing a vapor.
It's crazy, you know. It's man, what makes people want to try stupid stuff, you know? And you know, it's like some of the videos I send you. Some of these people don't even eat the stuff they make. That's how you know they do it. That's how you know they just doing it for likes.
Right. Just pretend like you're going. I mean, just don't even. They're like, I'm not about to eat that crap.
You know, somebody the other day, they made a bologna pie. See? Who the hell? Somebody. Going to eat a bologna pie.
That looked like it was literally dog food. And they were within the video themselves, they were letting the dog lick their fingers and then going back to cooking.
See, this is what my grandma used to always tell me, do not eat from everybody's house.
You cannot.
See, I'm that person. We have a potluck at work. I'm going to eat what I bring.
Like, we need to just go ahead and stop that right there. After some of the things that I have heard and seen, just let's go ahead and stop talking.
It's like I just cook lunch for me because it's the only thing I'm eating. Because people are nasty, man. You never know, boy. It's just, yeah, man. But, man, you know, NyQuil and chicken, huh? NyQuil, fried chicken.
It's pretty pathetic. It's pretty sad that people and if your intent is to get people to hurt themselves, what does that say about you?
Yeah, but you got to be the fool to even try it. You know.
Yeah.
Nobody makes these people go. And that's the thing.
You're here in the Black mama's household. First of all, what the hell are you doing with my chicken?
Man, you ain't gonna be wasting no chicken, no flour. So, Black mom used to be like, she was running a restaurant at the house, and I'd be wasting no milk. She just wanna know everything. Everything is accountable. You can't put too much milk in your cereal and leave it in your bowl. Right.
You just bought this NyQuil. Yeah. Who the hell is using this?
You tell your ass gets sick, your ass better not ask for none. Use it up with medicine. Yeah, you got cussed out big time in a Black household, man. Just probably hit upside the head too at the same time.
Right. Exactly, because once they figure out, don't let them catch you doing it. Oh my goodness, you know, now you got our nature, and I'm now scared for what the hell you're doing. You know, it's not pretty.
My mom gonna swear with that. You got a drug problem. Yeah. Oh man, that's just
doing now. It's time to search. Now it's time to search your whole room, all of your electronics.
All because you made some NyQuil fried chicken. Then you got to sit down and explain it to your daddy when he get home. By the hell, you're sitting there messing up the chicken. He worked hard. Right, for. Money for
this. You done messed up the chicken, the medicine.
Yeah, But no, kids, man, y'all stop trying this stuff that's foolish and dangerous, man. It's cool is being taken to some different levels these days, man. But hey, you don't have to be no fool, man. And stop being fools and trying this stuff out here, man. This things like that is not good for you. And it can actually harm you. So, you know, use your brain and think before you make some decisions, man, you know. Especially things that can cause damage to your bodies, you know, and cause other problems down the line. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We got so much at stake here.
Yeah.
So
much at stake. Yeah, we do. You know, but moving on, but other day I was looking at a cool article that I found online, and it was talking about what caught my attention. It said the 50 things that shouldn't be refrigerated. Mm-hmm. You know, and I grew up in one of those houses where we didn't put certain things in the refrigerator. But when I would go to friends' houses, you know, you ask for ketchup, they put it out the refrigerator. You look at them like, and why y'all like cold ketchup, you know?
Right. Mine was the cold, hard bread that worked my nerve.
Yeah. I hated my friend's family who kept the bread in the refrigerator. You can tell you're going to make a sandwich, you know? Yeah. And you don't want to put your bread in the toaster because, you know, back then you... Toaster just got you either soft or hard. It's like it wasn't no in between on them old school toasters.
No, look, wait a minute. Don't get started because you're gonna bring back some old memories where you had to know it's about where I need it. You pop it up yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, you gotta keep popping it up and popping it down until you get it just. Oh man, hey. The old school toasters, man. Hey, it was you know, light or dark. Mm-hmm. It had an in between. I don't know if that in between didn't work. It was gonna make it hard too. So
right. So you had to know and do it yourself.
Man, I remember when they first came out with Pop Tarts, boy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. And don't let it burn the Pop-Tarts.
I didn't like mine hard. So I would sit there and be popping it up too. Let's just get a little bit more color. Just a little bit. Oh, my gosh.
Because when it did burn, it was really bad because all that sugar.
Yeah,
right?
That
sugar. So it was, you didn't want it to burn.
But
yeah.
Pop-Tart
in the microwave.
I probably did. I'm pretty sure I did.
It is. It's not the same as if it's toasted, but
man, I'm telling you, I don't know if I'd have said this on the show before, but the worst thing that I ever tried to cook in the microwave was sausage.
Mm-hmm. from raw sausage. Oh wow,
man, it would either get like dried out, crispy, like jerky. Mm. It always gave it a twang.
Wow. What are you talking about? Is this like a sausage link?
No, like if you take some Owen sausage or some Jimmy Dean's in the tube.
Okay, breakfast.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm telling you, I'd try to cook a hamburger in the microwave, but I knew I was gonna be a chef when I was young. Why? I'll tell you why you try all kinds of cooking techniques.
you were able to get away with ruining some food.
I'd have made some things in the microwave. I can tell you some stories, boy.
Okay, so here's the thing. Here's the test. When you ruined it, did they make you eat it?
Well, then most of the time when I got up and cooked, wasn't nobody up no damn way, so... I got up early in the morning. My house still asleep. I'll tell you, man. Let me tell you something. I was a little fat little kid.
Show me on the show.
Huh? I was a little fat little kid, so yeah. I love to eat, man. My grandma and them being knocked out. I get up at six. So I get up at you. Yeah, but I get up
always in that kitchen.
Yeah, man. I get up at 7 in the morning. I'm burning pancakes. My grandpa coming. Boy, I see you've been cooking on high heat again. Pancake just black. I'm tearing them up though. Bacon black. Sausage either black or raw in the middle still.
Oh my God. So you were in there trying to make a whole meal. That is hilarious.
Man, what's my grandma turned me loose in the kitchen? First, she would let me make breakfast. So man, I used to get in there and make French toast, omelets and stuff when I was young, man, because my uncle, he stayed with us, so he would teach me how to cook all this stuff. And then we had this little protein drink that we would make from, it would be raw eggs, milk, and honey. And we would mix that together. That was our protein drink we would drink. So, man, I grew up drinking raw eggs like it wasn't nothing, you know, because. But my grandma tried me once she knew I wanted to cook, she tried, and she had to get up and cook me breakfast, man. Lumpy malt oatmeal, you know. You be eating a lot, you bite a lump and it's still all just the raw dough in the middle.
So that is the difference between, I'm going to say, the chubby kid being let loose in the kitchen and then the not so chubby kid, because they may stick to the one thing, right? They know how to do their cereal and they toast. But man, you in there cook a chef's meal.
I'm in there cooking bacon and eggs. Shoot, man. I fried weenies.
Grandma did.
I was cooking breakfast for real. Shoot, I'm sitting there watching cartoons, eating pancakes and stuff.
Oh my God. Oh no, I don't know if Ellis was, my son was quite older before I just let him loose, but he couldn't wait, because when I was at work and he was at home, there was always some surprise for me.
Yeah, you know, at first it was just me in the kitchen all the time watching my grandma and them cook. Mm-hmm. You know, I would sit and watch, and just I would always pull up a chair away and watch the ingredients she throw in the pots and the pans. Mm-hmm. You know, watch how she made her spaghetti. You know, she always made the meat soft and the noodles separate. I knew it was almost ready when she mixed the two together. I knew dinner was almost ready at that time, sure, because she mixed that sauce and the noodles together. Like, grandma, how much longer? A little bit longer. Like, go on, let it cook a little bit, baby, and then it'll be ready. You know, that little extra, I call that the little extra loving moment. You know, everything just kind of love on each other in the pot, you know. I'll be sitting there watching the pot, like, grandma, is it ready yet? No, boy, it ain't ready yet.
She wanted it to sit. It's got to sit together.
Yeah. It had to sit their love on each other, man, you know, and watching her fry chicken, you know, and stuff like that, and learning how to do that. I mean, the first time, man, you know, I'd say when I was young, I didn't understand heat and fire. I just thought you turned the oven up hot and fire high as you can, so my grease would be hot as hell while I'm trying to fry pork chops and chicken. So you know what happens, you wind up with half cooked product, you know. But it was a learning curve, man, that once I figured it out.
That's good. What do you think it was? Because you know what? I still don't have food in my house.
At first the only thing that really scared me was getting popped by the grease and stuff. And burning stuff, you know. I always burnt my chicken, I always burnt my pork chop because I said I didn't know how to control the fire.
Right.
But I never stopped learning. I'll still eat the food I cook and be like, man, this don't taste like my grandma's. This don't taste like, you know, and I would always think, how do I get to, even when I was young, I was always worried about how can I make this better the next time? And I never forget the day that I cooked spaghetti for my grandmother. And this was once I got older to a teenager. Yeah. And I cooked spaghetti dinner for my grandmother. My grandma told me, she said, I think you got it now.
Oh, wow.
She said, your spaghetti tastes better than mine's.
Oh, wow.
And at that,
other people start eating your food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, by the time I was a teenager, I was cooking for the house. But at that time, that day, man, that moment made me feel so special because my grandma had given me
Yes.
the approval to be the cook of the house.
Yes.
And from there on, man,
I'm glad she even said something.
Yeah, from there on, she stopped cooking. I started cooking.
Oh, wow.
You know, she would still cook all the big holiday meals and stuff like that. But the weekly cooking, I started doing, you know. I started cooking the spaghetti. I started cooking the meatloaf because she told me I had mastered how to cook like her.
And that
made the biggest thing in the world to me, man. And from there, man, it took off from there, you know.
That's
true. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah. Cool. Now, are we going to talk about them 50 things or some
of
those?
Yes. Things? Let's talk about some of these 50 things from that article.
Some of the surprising ones that people may not think about. Some I think people should know.
So tell me what's the first one you it was interesting.
That kind of surprises me.
Yeah.
For me, and I may have a little bit of a question about this one for you as a chef, is the hard cheese one. Because I'm thinking, I know they're not talking about, because what do they mean by hard cheese? So like, I'm thinking, is my cheddar cheese supposed to be sitting out?
Or is it supposed to be? Yes, like your cheddar cheeses, yeah, more your artisan cheeses,
I understand it.
I'm saying like because you get better flavor out of the cheese when it's when it's room temperature.
Yep, and
and it's easier to cut.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm like on meat trays on a charcuterie tray. They'll leave the cheese out a while because they want the cheese to be able to cut and everything real soft.
What's an example? Because that's how I eat it at work. I love it when it's set out. It's at room temperature. But what is an example of a cheese that shouldn't be set out then? That you don't want to, that's a soft cheese? Are we talking about
like American cheese, like, you know, processed cheeses. Because those things are going to go bad real quick.
Is it really?
Yeah, it may not. Well, yeah, these days it don't go bad.
It don't go bad ever.
Yeah, don't nothing go bad these days no more. I tell you, it's the strangest thing, boy.
But I think they're talking about soft, freshly made, a homemade mozzarella cheese. What do you think about that? Is that something that you think you want to put in the refrigerator?
Yeah, a mozzarella, I believe, has to go to Chris because of the process how mozzarella is made.
Uh-huh. I'm just trying to get the people an idea. What is the type of cheese?
Like something you would buy off a block. Cheeses mostly come in blocks like that.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
That you would get, you know, get cut off a block, like a hard parm, a hard cheddar, a Gouda.
Mm-hmm.
I said most of your hard cheese, not just my sauce, because they already soft, so.
Never put it in the fridge. I just put some in there today. Look, so even in the store, it comes out of the refrigerated section.
Yes. Because they trying to do what?
Oh, you know, preserve it. I mean, in their opinion, you know, keep it preserved for you to buy it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. They talking about, now, and you got to understand, they're not talking about this stuff sitting out for long. They talking about the things that you're going to eat quickly.
Right, exactly. So that's what I'm trying to get. I'm looking at it now, just trying to make, so if we could give our listeners a tip, it was to be specific so you don't have cheese molding on your counter.
You know, I tell you, like, okay, let's say like you're going to have you want to watch a movie, have you some cheese and wine. And you go to the store.
Mm.
Now, what they're talking about now, once you buy that cheese from the store, it's okay to put that cheese in a container and leave it out at room temperature if you're going to be eating this product until it's gone.
Okay.
You know, in a timely manner. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're not going to be... Yes, if you know that it's not going to be gone in a timely manner...
Uh-huh.
Put in the refrigerator, but even not being refrigerated, long as it's in an airtight container, it's not gonna go. It's not gonna go bad no faster than what they say. It's not gonna go no bad, no faster. Whether it's in the refrigerator or sitting on the counter,
right? And I get you. I'm just being specific because I don't want to give people misleading information with that March 23, 2023 date on the cheese that I just purchased.
Well, it's because everything has to have an expiration date put on it, because that's the law of the FDA.
Sure.
Everything has to have everything. Now that doesn't mean it goes bad.
Well, most of my cheeses are molded before they.
That's because cheese is a natural, cheese is mold.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing wrong. If cheese mold, all you gotta do is cut the mold off. You still eat the cheese. It's nothing wrong. Just saying you eat mold, the mold is coming from in the cheese. So
that's a whole different conversation. However, I'm just trying to again make the point. We can move on to the other topic, to the some other items. But so it's okay that if I store it in the fridge, but the day I'm going to eat it, I pull it out and let it go to room temperature.
That's fine too.
Right. Okay. Another one. I'll do my other one and I'll let you do yours. The big one that actually has me thinking, I'm trying to figure this one out, is butter. Because what does it say? And that's kind of like the cheese, because it's saying it's kind of referring to if you don't buy it in huge quantities.
Mm-hmm.
Said so. If you buy a little bit of cheese, you can leave it sitting out until you use it up, basically.
And just think about the olden days with butter. Your grandparents had a butter dish that stayed on the table.
Mm.
They just kept it covered up.
I thought I remembered that butter dish going in and out the refrigerator. It may have in my house.
If it's hard, you can't spread it on butter like that, on bread like that.
That is true, but that's why the bread was always warm, and that's what pretty much the reason why I make toast the way I do now. I take the butter, put it on the bread, and put it in the oven so it'll toast the bread and the butter will melt. But anyway, but I get the spread and the birth of being able to spread it, but it says you can keep it out for a week.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, what he didn't talk about so much in here is the back and forth. Some of the items they talk about, whether, you know, going back and forth between cold and warm and cold and warm. So if I was to just take a stick of butter out of my fridge and say, I'm going to leave the stick out for the week. Mm-hmm. Would you do that? Is that something you would recommend or you think would be okay?
Yeah, I would say, I would be fine with it. Mm-hmm. I'd say it's not going to go bad. It's. Mm-hmm. Now, after a week, I'll probably throw it away, you know.
Right, right.
But butter doesn't last forever if it's in the refrigerator.
Oh, it don't last that long in my refrigerator. I like butter.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, if you try to keep butter for a long time, yeah, butter is going to get old in the refrigerator also.
In the refrigerator, and then I also freeze it. So mm-hmm. Mine's going from the freezer to the refrigerator to the table. All right, so tell me some of yours that may have surprised you.
Well, not surprised, but one of the ones I agreed with, my first one was ketchup.
Oh, yeah.
I'm one of them people that don't believe in putting ketchup in the refrigerator. You know, that's one of them things that I don't like cold ketchup.
What about barbecue sauce? Do you put barbecue sauce in the refrigerator?
No.
You don't even have to open? He did not put, but an interesting one is the pickles.
Yes, I agree with that one too.
Mm-hmm.
Pickles is one of them things, the vinegar. Yeah, but I do like a cold pickle.
Yes, that's the thing. And I love the way he says, well, just put it in there for a few hours. Whatever you're gonna eat.
But it is it does depend on how you finish your pickles, because some pickles can be finished the hot method, or they can be finished the cold method.
Okay.
And the ones I believe that you finish the cold method, I believe you leave those cold. That's my perspective. Now, regular jar of pickles that's been finished up, with, you know, the regular way, then they can be eaten how they are.
Okay, so if you find it on the regular shelf, on the shelf like any other, along with the mayonnaise, mustard, ketchup, and whatever, those you're saying, you can open it, get your pickle out, close it back up, just like they used to do at the candy store, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But the ones that you bought from the cold section, itself, you want to probably keep in the refrigerator.
Yes. Because those have been cold finished, like your... And that's why they have a different taste and a different crunch to them.
Yeah, that crunch is beautiful.
Yeah.
okay, that's good.
Another thing I found interesting was garlic.
Oh, really?
Okay, yeah, that you shouldn't refrigerate garlic, which I thought about this. My grandmother never put garlic in it. She always used fresh garlic cloves, but it always stayed out. She never put garlic in the refrigerator.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. That was because you think about that. You know, I didn't know what to do. I had wondered what to do with that. Right?
So yeah, the cold actually makes the garlic break down faster. So it goes bad faster being cold than it does. It can sit. Garlic is one of them things that can sit out forever. It'll just start growing a bulb that you could actually plant and make more garlic out of if you wanted to. Mm-hmm. You know, but it's better to just leave it on the counter. And onions are the same way.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And one tip with onions, don't put your onions and potatoes by each other.
Right.
It'll make your onions go bad fast. That's one of them things we've always
onions
believe
in. Go bad or the potatoes go bad, or is it both?
It'll make your onions go bad fast.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but even in restaurants, we don't keep them by each other because of that fact, you know. So yeah, that is a true thing. Honey is another thing that you don't need to refrigerate, and honey is one of them things, y'all, that can last for years. It's made by nature. If it was left in a beehive, it would sit outside for years without man touching it. Mm-hmm. So it's just, you have to think about it like that, you know. This is a product that comes from outside, so it doesn't have to go in. Put it in the refrigerator, actually makes it crystallize.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and people think it's bad when it's crystallized. If your honey crystallized, just take it, put it in some warm water. It'll thaw back out.
Mm-hmm.
But honey is one of them things that can last for decades, you know. It's a natural thing that comes from Mother Earth, made by the bees. So just, if man never touched a beehive, honey would sit there and just getting better and better. So think about it like that.
This article says that if I buy a peach or a nectarine or plum, I need to eat them all right then. I'm sorry. The best way to do it is not to overbuy and to be able to eat them when you get them. That's the best solution.
Yeah.
But don't put them in the fridge.
I believe in that also. When I buy peaches and stuff, I only buy like two or three at a time. Mm-hmm. And because I know I've been eating with them a couple of days. Yeah.
So is cheese a stone fruit?
It's what?
Cherries, a stone fruit.
Yes.
I'm kind of looking at the article.
Yes. Yeah.
And why is that? What makes what's a stone
the
fruit?
The pit that they have in them.
Okay.
Yeah, they got pits in them. That's what makes them stone fruits.
Okay. Gotcha. Now, okay, so let's talk about the nuts, because he says don't put them in the refrigerator. You can put them in the freezer.
Mm-hmm.
Not in the refrigerator.
Yes.
Which I thought
was. Refrigerator makes them soft.
Okay.
So if you want soft nuts, put them in the refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
You want your nuts to stay hard, put them in the freezer.
Okay. All right. Let me move on to something else. The bread thing, I think most people. But we just finished talking about people. You know, I think that's an old school thing. Throw the bread in the refrigerator.
Yeah.
Keep it But yeah, I don't do that at all. Now, cucumbers. So there are a few. Let me say this. There are a few things on this list that I have to think about and change my own habits, right? That's the cucumbers, mustard, because I'd have kept mustard in the refrigerator. Then I'm going to think about, I keep nuts out actually. What else? Those pickles, that pickle thing, the hot versus cold. I'm going to think about that. The berries thing.
Berries, yeah.
That means only buy enough that I'm going to eat that day. That I'm
yeah. Right. And what they say, it doesn't matter hot or cold, berries are going to go bad regardless. Mm-hmm. They don't have a long time. Once you take them off the vine, mm-hmm. their life is dwindling down, you know. So it's better just to go ahead and eat them. And that's because, like I said, after a day or two, strawberries are starting to dry up, you know what I'm saying? Where they're in the refrigerator or whatever, they don't look the same no more. So
now this is the one that I've never heard of. That's on this. I've never even heard anybody doing this. Putting their cereal in the refrigerator. That's new. I mean, I've never even thought of doing that one.
Well, if you grew up with a lot of roaches, then yeah, you put your cereal in the refrigerator. So you won't be able to eat them the next day. So they had to go in the refrigerator. Okay. Y'all don't leave that thing.
I think most of us kind of know our apples get a lot of flavor. Leave them out. If you get more flavor. Yes, people, I am moving on from Cedric J. So bell peppers. I read this and something about this caught my attention about keeping, I do keep them out. I do keep them out until I cut them. Okay. I do tend to, I've got a little bolder with that and keeping them out. Okay. Yeah. I actually cut them and freeze them and just go from there and use them frozen.
Yeah, I got some, I got to cut up tomorrow and freeze.
Mm-hmm. I know. I think we talked earlier about the rice one, which was interesting. The point about don't put your dry rice in the refrigerator, period. Right. And yeah. I have stored it that way. But he's like, the point is to keep the moisture out until you try to cook it.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard of that either. People putting it in the freezer. Excuse me. So most of these things I knew and did and understood, but I read the bottle too.
Yeah.
And as I tell people, if you read the bottle, it'll tell you what if it has to be stored or not.
Yes, it will. Well, yeah. Y'all go check the article out, y'all. It's, you can go online and Google it. It's 50 things that shouldn't really go in the refrigerator. Like I said, the article's pretty interesting. And You can find it online if you want to check it out and get some more tips and see what all 50 of them are. I said there's a lot of interesting things on that list. That some of them shock you, some of them won't, you know.
There's a few more. So there's some on here that'll make me change my habits. I'm gonna try to.
That's good. See if you get better flavor out of them and let us know.
Yeah, I will.
So we hope y'all learned something from that little segment thoroughly. He's picked up a couple of tips. But like I said, if you're interested in that, go Google that article and check it out.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry. My pause. I apologize. Because in my mind, I was thinking, I'm going to put the link in the deal. I'm going to try to remember to do that for you guys.
Okay. Well, she's going to try me to put the link up for y'all. All right, y'all. So we just moved into the equinox, which is the even part of the year. That means we start to transition from summer to fall. You know, we get to leave the hot weather down here. I don't know about, well, the rest of the world gets to leave the hot weather alone here in Texas. Heat will stay on to... It just decided to turn off. So Because it's still been hot in Texas. but it's the time of the year where you go from eating kind of light dishes and you move into your kind of heavier dishes. Nice transition for a lot of different soups. To me, it's the soup time of the year. When it starts, you start getting that little nice crisp in the air, you can throw on a little hoodie, you know. So it's the chili time and soup time for me, you know. So this is a time where I would switch over my menu in the restaurant to a more heartier dishes, you know, heavier sauces, winter style vegetables. This is where I would bring in a lot of different soups every week. And a little heavier meals, you know.
What's a winter vegetable like?
Well, what we call winter vegetables is things that you can find in abundance.
It's still in the wintertime.
Still in the wintertime.
Okay.
And give me 1 second. Sorry, right there.
Yeah, because I know I bought some squash today. What is it? Did I see anything? You know, I think I see sweet potatoes all the time.
Yes. It's certain things you can have greens. You know, greens grow all year long. but this time of year, you move into like your peas. Radishes, your
leaf. I did buy 15 bean soup mix today.
That's one of my favorites. certain lettuces, spinach, potatoes, kale.
Okay.
Winter herbs like rosemary, thyme, mint, bok choy, arugula, garlic, onions.
Okay.
You know?
Okay. Just I got you. Flavorful, hearty, those kind of things. Mm-hmm. Right? They all go and make good soups. They make a good soup. So what are your favorite? Yeah, so 15 bean soup is one that I have learned to come to enjoy. I started tasting it at a soul food restaurant, and I've enjoyed it ever since. So I'm going to try to make me some. Shouldn't be no problem. I was just looking at
They made just like regular beans. It's no.
Yeah, right. I was like, there's nothing major.
Yeah, it's nothing. Yeah. They just regular beans. It's just.
Only thing I worry about is the fact of eating them all. I was like, okay, I know. I don't know what. I'm going to split it. Let's split it up.
Yeah, it's no. When I do my brother, he makes heels. My brother is the first person that started cooking 15 beans. And that's his favorite mixture. But I like it because most of the beans disappear and make a very rich stock.
Mm-hmm.
Especially your lentils and stuff, they dissipate in there as they cook out, man. It just adds some richness. Okay. I always throw some andouille sausage in mine, ham hock, or smoked turkey. Things like that, you know. Last time I fixed, I think I threw some ground turkey in there. But yeah, I love me some 15 beans, man. But any kind of beans is good to me.
And it's definitely the fall. Any other fall suggest? I mean, for me, I agree with you with the soups. I'm not as big on the chili, but mine is the tortilla soup. For me, it's chicken and noodles.
Yeah,
that time of year.
That's one of my least favorite soups, man. I cannot stand chicken. Chicken and I think that's because I ate so much when I was young. Because when you get sick, that's how they.
And I don't eat it. Look, I don't even eat it like soup. Mine just doesn't have a lot of broth. I like the broth, the flavor, everything, but it's like thick. I like chicken and noodles. I don't. Yeah. Do like a soup because the noodles that I use, they really call them no yolk dumplings.
Yeah.
They probably they're taking up all of the liquid, but yeah.
Yeah. Some of my favorite soups I love in the wintertime. I love tomato soup.
Yeah,
that's probably one of my favorites. It's tomato basil. My potato soup. My baked potato soup. A lot of people love it.
Okay.
Those are probably my top two. Then my tortilla soup. I make a very good tortilla soup also. I'm that person, man. I like making weird soups. I'm that person that'll take carrots and stuff and make soups out of them. And man, I've been known for making some nice weird soups. I love lentil soups with a sour, you know, and things like that. I take butternut squash and peaches and make soups out of them, and just for different flavors. Yeah, I like to push the limit on things, you know.
Okay.
And it's cool. I love. Yeah, like I said, it's soups is one of those things you can take anything that you like, and whether it's a lentil based soup that you took infused with ham, you know, and pour the ham out just because you want just the flavor of the ham in the broth. Mm-hmm. Pour the ham and cook the lentils in there. You make this nice green lentil soup. Mm-hmm. It's real hearty, you know. I love butternut squash soups. That's one of my favorite soups in the fall time also. It's nice, rich and velvety.
Okay, so how do you season your butternut squash soup? Do you season it with a meat or no?
No, it's a, you know, at most, no. I roast my butternut squash. Because I believe when you roast the stuff, you get a better flavor out of it. You get to bring more of the sweetness out of butternut squash, and you get to bring more of the flavor out of it. So I usually roast it first, then I put in a mixer, add some heavy cream butter. Most time I'm gonna throw some maybe a little clove in there, maybe a little dash of nutmeg, little cinnamon. And
pumpkin spices.
No, not no pumpkin spice.
I didn't say pumpkin. I said the spices.
No, that's not pumpkin spice. Pumpkin. Are you trying to put that on me? Because you be.
I knew you was going to respond that way.
You be doing pumpkin over there.
Oh, my God. It's just the spices.
Lisa, black folks don't do nothing pumpkin, Lisa.
We were getting a good recipe, so don't go off.
On we do sweet potatoes, not pumpkin. Let's
get sweet potato spices. Let's go back to the recipe.
Y'all blame Lisa for that, y'all. But little spices like that, allspice, you're going to throw that allspice, you know you could. But
allspice instead of those others, because I know allspice kind of has all of those.
Yeah, depends on what you want to put in. I'm just saying, it just I cook by what mood I'm in. Just depends on what I want to grab that day, you know. Put those things in there and got your nice butternut squash soup. You know?
Interesting. Okay, so that's the end of the process in the food processor.
You put all that stuff in a food processor, mix it together, and most time I take it through a chinois, which is a fine strainer.
Okay.
And that makes it, that gets all the clumps and stuff out of it and gives you a nice velvety soup at the end.
Okay.
It's a lot of things in restaurants we have that y'all, most people don't have in their kitchens. That we have to finish our soups, you know, so you don't taste all the stringiness and stuff.
The temperature is still hot or warm?
Yeah, it's still hot. Yeah, it's just a fine mist strainer where it doesn't allow big particles to go past through it. It keeps all that stuff in back, where you just have a nice smooth soup after that. I would, if I was making a pea soup, a parsnip soup, the potato soup that's cold. I can't remember the name of right now. It's called starts with a V, but. If I was making a gazpacho, you know, and when you want it smooth and nice and not have all that back stuff in it, you just take it through a fine mesh strainer. It gives you a smooth product. It's the same thing with potatoes. Okay. You want a nice and smooth, you take it through a fine strainer, and they call it potatoes pompree. It's just we mash them through the smish where they're just nice and smooth. And mm-hmm. so they have more velvety texture to them that way. So
that makes sense. That makes sense. And I've tasted that, so I get that. So we got one recipe, if you will, out of you. And we know we don't get measurements, so that's fine. We just get the ingredients. That's fine. So it made me think about, as you were talking about the different soups, the possible wines that go with those soups. It made me think about some, you know, some good red wines could go with those heartier soups. That sounds pretty good.
It depends on if I'm doing like some type of meat based soup, I probably would do a red wine.
Okay.
You know, maybe like a stew or something like that. Mm-hmm. Maybe some type of steak and barley soup.
Oh, really? So with your tomato soup or your butternut squash, you would do a white wine or something else?
A tomato soup, you probably could pull off a red wine because of how you, because of tomato sauce, you know, red wine can go with tomato sauce. So a tomato soup, I believe you could probably pull off a red wine or a nice rosé wine, you know, something like that. Zinfandel, a red Zinfandel. Things like that, that are a lot of light, those are light body wines. So those are pair well with something like that.
Okay.
If I was going with like a gumbo, probably you can get away with a red wine too on a gumbo.
We didn't even talk about a gumbo soup.
Well, soup is soup, you know, it doesn't matter. Whether you're fixing a gumbo or chowder, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love a good clam chowder also. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cipriani, which is a French soup. Cipriani bolognese, that's the French and Italian fish soups. Those are two soups that are, man, that's... You want to talk about some love in a pot, man. If you're a seafood lover,
mm-hmm.
man, a nice Cipriano, oh, man, that is like freaking amazing, man. It's so much seafood in it. Mm-hmm. But you have to be a seafood. It's a fishy soup, so you have to be a seafood lover to enjoy it.
Talking about mussels, clams, those kind of things all in there.
Yeah, you start with a whitefish, and you mm-hmm. throw a shrimp, a couple of shrimp in there. You throw a couple of clam mussels in there, a couple of clams. Mm-hmm. And man, just that stuff all come together, man. It's just a nice little piece of love, man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's good. Yeah, I'm a clam chowder person. Grown to love crab, a bisque, a lobster bisque, all those, but I can't seem to do those mussels.
Yeah, I'm a bisque, any kind of bisque I like. Mussels, man, I love them. Mm-hmm. There's nothing like some mussels in a nice white wine and Dijon mustard sauce, man. It's just one of them things you gotta learn to love, man. It's a lovely dish.
We'll see everybody if he gets me to try this one day. But
I love going to restaurants to have a lot of times if they got mussels on the appetizer list, I get it for my dinner because man, I love mussels like it's cooked in a white wine and stuff like that, man. It's a good thing. You know, maybe go cook me some mussels this weekend.
I got you started.
But man, it's you know, it's a lot of great seafood recipes out there for soups. Shrimp and corn soup is nice. Like I said, your gumbo, whether you're doing a shrimp gumbo, a seafood gumbo, a chicken gumbo, you know, you got your different varieties, you know, do what you like, you know. I love doing, I don't cook a lot of beef soups, but when I do, I eat a lot of pho. And I love beef and barley. I love that combination.
Oh, really?
Yeah, barley makes a good soup. Add in because it gives you a nice grain to put in there, something very healthy. It goes great with vegetables. Man, you can do a barley and vegetable soup, and it would be very nice. You know, if you're gonna do it that way for your your vegetarians and vegans, just do it with a vegetable base. I start that soup with a beef broth, but to keep it with no meat, just do it with a vegetable broth. And man, it comes out just as good as long as you show it some love. You know, what you put, what the love that you show the food is gonna love you back.
Okay.
You get in there and don't show the food no love. You get no love when you eat it.
Absolutely, I'm a firm believer in that. And so, just trying to help people become better at showing the love that they intend to have. Yeah. Sometimes it doesn't always show up as much as you want it to.
We make things harder than they are. Mm. When it comes to cooking, there's no rules. Mm-hmm. I tell people this all the time. There's no rules to cooking. Mm-hmm. It's about what you put into it, you know? But most people put things into it that don't taste. Now, what you put into this food, you have to taste it. Mm-hmm. Now, if it's what you like, it's what you like.
Yes.
I can't tell you the level of love that you want to put into what your dish is.
So you don't like it, it's what works for them. That's your response. You don't make it.
Yes, because when I cook for me. Mm-hmm. I cook for something that I'm gonna love, but mm-hmm. I have the mind state that if I love it, somebody else is gonna love it. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Everybody don't have that mind state. Mm-hmm. I know if I create something in my head and I execute it on a plate, mm-hmm. I know when I look at it and if I like it, somebody else is gonna love it. Because mm-hmm. most of the time when I create something, especially as my first time creating, I push it out in the restaurant or push it out on a menu. Mm-hmm. I get raving responses.
Yeah.
But in my head, I'm thinking, man, I could have did better. Mm-hmm. That's I see me as me putting out something subpar. Everybody else see me putting out something great. I see me putting out something, damn, I could have did this better. I could have changed this. I could have mm-hmm. added this. You know, I'm always my biggest critic, sure. No matter what I do, because I'm hard on myself, because mm-hmm. I'm a person that likes perfection. I don't like for nothing to go out that doesn't taste good. But like I said, what tastes good to me and what's perfect to me is what everybody else loves,
right?
You know, but in my head, it can always be better. And so the next time I make it, I push it to be even better. Mm-hmm. You know, that's always my push is how do I make this dish better? The next time when somebody eat this, I want to see a better response. I want to see the look on their face, you know, when they eat it. You know, that's my satisfaction in this when I do this stuff, you know.
Gotcha. So you gotta learn if he's cooking for you, be prepared to answer the question how you like it.
And most of the time I don't even ask people how they like it. You know, I have so much confidence in what I do.
Uh-huh. And most of the time people tell you that they liked it anyway.
Yeah. You know, I have a few mm-hmm. I have people who tell me when they don't like things and I listen to them. But sometimes I know when a person is bullshitting and when a person is authentic, because I know what I put into these dishes. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I believe in everything I put on the plate. Now, I know I can't please everybody.
Right. Right.
But I know if over 80% of the people have told me that this was a great dish, I'm not mm-hmm. going to let this little 2% over here tell me that it wasn't. Because it was something that they didn't find, it's something they didn't like in it. Now I'm going to listen to what they didn't like I'm going to take that information and the next time I execute this dish, I'm going to take that in mind, you know. But if I know that I executed right and it was that's them, then sometimes I leave that to that's just them, you know.
Yeah, you have to. Mm-hmm. Yep, they just don't. They can't tolerate it or something like that.
But fall time is good for soups. Your casserole people who love casseroles. I'm not a casserole person.
Oh, I could do some casserole.
But you know, I was talking to somebody the other day, and they was talking about tuna bake and tuna help. And I'm like, yeah, I remember when my grandma there would fix that stuff, and I couldn't stand it, man. I had an aunt, and she loved making tuna casserole. And every now and then, my grandma would make tuna casserole. And, man, that was just one of them things. And I'm like, why? Man, I ate it because I had to, but it was always just tasted funny.
Now, here's the question. Was your grandmother making hers from scratch?
Yeah, my grandma didn't make no hamburger helper and stuff, man. We didn't eat my grandma got in the kitchen and throw down every day, man.
So she was making her tuna. Okay. And that's something that you still thought it had a little funny taste on
that. It was the tuna, man.
It was the tuna
that made it taste funny. To this day, once I became a chef, man, I don't even eat tuna out the can no more. And if it ain't real tuna, y'all, I don't eat it. What I mean by real tuna is real tuna is pink. It ain't white in the can. Is white.
See, I won't even begin to reveal my little thing there is that I when you said it, I'm like, is white in the can? That lets you know how much I actually eat tuna in the can. That's why I didn't want to say nothing. I was like, don't say anything.
But this time of year, your casseroles, your noodle dishes, you know, your bean-based dishes. Yeah, it's time for all that good stuff like that. You know, I hate doing this part of the year, man. I start getting cravings for dressing. It's like I've been wanting some dressing. I'm going to have to just break down this weekend and fix me some dressing, man.
I almost went to your place. I had chicken and dressing today, but I almost went to your place to go get some, but I didn't. I didn't feel like driving that far.
That ain't gonna work. I have to.
You need yours now.
That's what I use to get over the hump. I gotta have some of grandma's dressing. You know, I need some of that good stuff. I got some duck fat over here.
Fully dressed and everything that you like, the way you like it, huh?
Yeah, I need to make some good dressing, man. Like grandma used to make shit.
Yeah.
I was talking to my brother about that today. I was like, man, I've been wanting some dress. I said, I hate when I get like this. I'm gonna have to go ahead and fix me a pan.
Fix it.
For Thanksgiving, give her.
When you get a chance, but what did you just say?
I say for Thanksgiving holidays, get here, and I'll be fixing it every day. Then won't want none.
Yeah, I got you. Okay. So, sir, we've talked about quite a lot.
Yes, we have. Yes, we have.
Are we going to do chef's rant?
We'll not do that today. We'll save that for next week. We've held the audience ears long enough this week. But I will give y'all another spice tip this week, though. Since it's moving into fall, everybody likes to make chili. So if you want to buy that chili blend at the store, I'm going to give you a recipe. I'll give you a small-scale recipe. And don't tell nobody I gave y'all this recipe, y'all. And this is for a chili seasoning. So get your pen and your paper. And I'm going to tell you how to make your own chili seasoning from scratch. We're going to take a half a tablespoon of paprika, 1 tablespoon of onion powder, 2 tablespoons of garlic powder, 1 tablespoon of cayenne powder, 2 tablespoons of salt, 1 tablespoon of pepper, 1 tablespoon of oregano, 1 tablespoon of thyme. Now, that's a base for all y'all who need measurements. When I make chili, I don't use no measurements. I just add because I like bold spices, I think, and I like bold flavor. So I go a little heavier on things, and y'all are allowed to do that also. So that's a basic blend. Taste it. If you like something, you want a little more chili powder in it, add that. If you don't add it. And also,
listening to me for just one time. I'm kidding.
I would add a little cumin. I add cumin to this also. So I add 2 tablespoons of cumin or 1 tablespoon of cumin, however you like. But yeah, that's my recipe that I use. And like I said, if you want it bolder, add more of this, add more of that, whatever you like, whatever you don't like, you know, make it your own, you know, have fun with it, play with it.
Can I ask you this one question? Do you put beans in your chili?
Y'all, let me tell y'all something. I'm from Texas. Beans do not go in chili. Y'all keep that stuff for the Midwest and the East Coast. Don't bring that bean stuff in here. Beans will not go in chili. Beans are beans.
And see, everybody, I love beans and chili.
Well, that's what you do. You fix your chili how you fix it.
But I know. I'm just saying. It's okay.
If Chef said to fix chili, beans don't go in Chef said to chili. And you want me to make you some chili beans? I'll make you some chili beans.
But we're not putting the two together.
We're not adding them together. I'm telling y'all this real quick. It was this dude on TikTok. He like, man, I won this chili contest with this recipe. Mm-hmm. And this is my thing, y'all. I don't think it's a chili, authentic chili recipe if you use a packaged seasoning.
Oh.
And that was the first thing he did.
In a contest, you would expect, I am expecting for you to use
packaged seasoning, beans already made out to use bush beans. Mm-mm. Man, that's not no making your own chili. No, that's throwing together some stuff that's already done.
That's what home cooks do for making chili. You're trying to make chili for the kids. That's what I would do, but it ain't what I'm supposed to do for a contest. I agree.
Yeah, I want, man, you don't go on with that chili.
I don't know how you won the contest like that.
Yeah, I don't either. Yeah, me either. But anyway, yeah. Well, thank y'all for listening this week, y'all. We hope y'all enjoyed this show. A lot of information today. Hope y'all picked up on some things. Hope y'all enjoyed the recipes I shared. Like I said, we're moving into fall, man. Let's make some good food, man. Y'all send us some pictures of y'all food if y'all want to send them to the website. Chef says foodieshack@gmail.com. Send us some pictures of some of the things y'all make, especially y'all make some of the things that we talk about from on here. If there's anything y'all want to learn how to cook, want to know how I cook it or whatever, send us a message, let us know. That's Chef Cedric's foodieshack@gmail.com, y'all. Share and like the show with your friends. Continue to help us spread this. We're trying to get 1,000 shares a week, y'all. We can only do that with y'all support. So please, please, please help us. Oh, yes, and we're also getting ready to do the, in a couple weeks here, we're going to be doing the Foodie Shack at the Fair Park. So We hope to bring y'all. We're gonna go out here another year and try some of these desserts and these dishes that made this contest. That's right. if they're not charging an arm and a leg for this stuff.
What it's gonna be like now.
Yeah, yeah. We spent about $100 last time, boy. But it's all good, though. It's all good. It's good. It's for the show. We enjoy it. But yes, y'all look forward to our second annual Stay for a Texas show. Mm-hmm. And we will have some footage this year that will be going on YouTube from the fair part. So, yeah. Especially at least ride one of these extreme rides.
No. Mm-mm. Okay.
Yes, y'all. Lisa's going to do a extreme ride this year, and I'm going to film it. So we're going to put on the stream ball and go around in the air and stuff and do flips and see what she do. Everybody have a good night. Thank y'all for listening, man. Peace, power, and love to y'all. Continue to spread positive energy, y'all. It's enough hate in this world that we have to deal with all the time. So the positive energy goes a long way, you know. Y'all have a good night. Good night.
Bye, everybody.
It's the Foodie Shack Podcast. The Foodie Shack Podcast. The Foodie Shack Podcast. The Foodie Shack Podcast. Hey, chefs and foodies, grab a seat with your new friends, Sid and Lisa. They tell you what you need to know. Make you laugh about it also. Talking wine and cheese, steak to bisque. Won't wanna miss servings of this. And possibilities. Gonna take you there on the Foodie Shack Podcast. The Foodie Shack Podcast. It's the Foodie Shack Podcast. The Foodie Shack Podcast.